Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorrah.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. This is, as always, the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your humble host, Michael Boldea. And another week has come and gone. And another tragedy has befallen this nation. It troubles me that nothing is sacrosanct anymore. And I believe with all my heart that it is due to the fact that we've raised up a generation of godless souls who do not believe that all man is created equal, that we have the spark of life in us given by God. And so if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in a creator, if you don't believe in the existence of something other than self, and you believe that your fellow human beings are nothing more than meat, flesh to be pummeled and shot and murdered while worshiping on a Sunday morning, then you are truly capable of heinous things, because what's to stop you? See, I'm always reminded, let's put it this way, that what we are seeing isn't anything new, anything unprecedented. When Solomon said that there was nothing new under the sun, he was right. Because history teaches us that man is capable of truly heinous things. History teaches us that man can readily become lower than a beast and do things that make your skin crawl just hearing them. Never mind witnessing them. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and I don't know how you could not know what I'm talking about, a coward walked into a church in Texas and mortally wounded 26 people. He killed 26 people, including, what, an 18-month-old. Now, from the news stories that we've been hearing, this man was an avowed atheist. And oddly enough, he also taught Bible study in a church. Children's school. Children's Bible study. Now, the first question that must be asked is, where was the discernment? Pray tell, where was the discernment from the leadership, from the pastors, from the elders? Didn't they get just a sense that something was off with this young man? Why would you let someone like this teach your children about anything, or even let him near them? And we're seeing these things happening more and more frequently, and sadly we're becoming desensitized to them. It's been, what, 3 days, 4 days, and they've moved on to other things. 26 people died in a church on a Sunday morning while worshiping. It's not the first time murder has taken place in a sanctuary. But Thomas Becket was killed in a church back in, what, 1170? We live with the assumption that there are still rules. We're living with the assumption that certain things are off limits. And it seems as though nothing is. A church on a Sunday morning, during worship service, one man who let darkness overcome him. And we can talk about the other man. This man that looks like a Santa Claus in the making with his white beard, who ran barefoot, trying to do what he can to stop the carnage. See, there are still noble people in the world. There are still those who run towards the danger, not away from it. But they're rarer and rarer with each passing day. Look, I don't want to spend the entire hour on what happened in Texas. It was a tragedy, doubly so, because it happened in a church and because the ages of those that were murdered ranged from just babies to the elderly. What, 77 was the oldest person that perished in that church. I can't spend an entire hour talking about that because it's too heartbreaking. I can't even imagine. They said one family lost 8 members. 8 members of one family died. Gary, when you start to think that there's not going to be anyone left to bury you, that these are the times that we're living in. It's because we've allowed godlessness to take hold. Because instead of preaching truth and instead of standing for righteousness and instead of doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're bickering back and forth like little children. Someone forwarded me a comment that was left on the YouTube channel regarding what last week, I guess, and last week's program. And they just said, "What do you think about this?" And I wasn't going to get into this, but between talking about Texas and that entire tragedy and talking about this, I'm going to talk about this because my heart is just too heavy. My heart is too heavy because I know down to my marrow that this will not be the last of it. This is just the beginning. The email that I got was, "What do you think about this?" And the comment was this: "The reason I, as the Christian, hate Christmas is because I believe Jesus hates it. You Christmas apologists," there's such a thing apparently. There is such a thing as a Christmas apologist, "are as much the ones who attack and accuse and cause division in the body of Christ." All right, I don't know who left this. God bless you anyway. But a few things. Let's dissect, shall we? First of all, I don't know anyone, nor have I ever said, that if you say the word Christmas or if you celebrate Christmas, or if you don't say the word Christmas or don't celebrate Christmas, you're going to hell. See, I've gotten a lot of correspondence and people have, quote-unquote, confronted me. And each time the conversation descends to, "If you celebrate Christmas, you're going to hell." So I'm sorry, I'm not the one causing division or accusing anyone of anything, because if you don't celebrate Christmas, I don't believe it's a hell-worthy offense. The Bible doesn't say it. Now, with that caveat having been said, I scoured the Word of God to see if what you believe lines up with the Word of God. Because you said, "I hate Christmas because I believe Jesus hates Christmas." Those are strong words. Now, the only thing that I found regarding what God hates is in Proverbs 6, and it says, "These six things the Lord hates." So six things. Let's open our hearts and eyes and ears and see if Christmas is among them. Because if within these six things that the Lord hates, we don't find the word Christmas, then what you believe Jesus hates and what he hates are two very different things, sir or madam, whoever left this message. So, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven. Uh-oh, there's seven now. Maybe Christmas is in there. Seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. So these are the seven things that God hates. I did not see Christmas. Maybe I'm reading the wrong translation. That said, when you have people coming into a church insisting that if you remember the birth of Christ, you are a heathen and hell-bound, I would submit to you that that may be grounds to accuse someone of sowing discord among the brethren. See, when I say Christmas, I don't mean trees and Santa Claus and eggnog or Yuletides or chestnuts or anything else. See, to me, Christmas is going into a cathedral and hearing an a cappella version of Handel's Messiah. And I don't know how callous a soul you have to be to just sit there and listen, just hear the first few bars. Just in a cathedral where there's complete silence, and all of a sudden you hear the thunder, hallelujah, that does not impact you. If you don't believe that was divinely inspired, then I'm at a loss for words. See, again, I'm not talking about secular Christmas. I'm talking about using the opportunity of the celebration of the birth of the Son of God to share the gospel, to preach Jesus. And no, I don't believe that anyone's going to hell for celebrating Christmas. And if you choose not to, you're not going to hell for that either. But for someone to be so certain that Jesus hates it, and to call me an apologist for Christmas, that's hilarious. The term apologist, apparently we can redefine words till the cows come home. But what if we don't have cows? Anyway, so that was that. What does God hate? It's outlined in the Word. See, God hates feet that are swift to running to evil. He hates a false witness who speaks lies. He hates one who sows discord among the brethren and a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. How about this? We can revisit the topic of Scripture or the topic of Christmas once we've dealt with, abortion. How about that? Instead of trying to pummel people over the head regarding Christmas and telling them that they're going to hell because they went to a service on December the 24th and heard some Christmas carols, I don't know, maybe focus our energies on something like abortion. And once we've dealt with that, once the church has really done its job and put an end to the shedding of innocent blood, once we've righted all the wrongs, as the saying goes, then maybe we can, revisit the topic of Christmas. Because the supposed and self, I guess self-appointed leaders of the spiritual masses today are as cowardly as they ever were. I saw this article recently and it bugged me, because it's very reminiscent of Joel Osteen's interview with good old Larry King on the topic of homosexuality. Well, the topic here was abortion, of course. And the person being interviewed was a mega church pastor. His name is Carl Lentz. Apparently he is the pastor to the stars, and when we're done with the article, you'll discover why. In a nutshell, if you will, the reason this man is so popular among a certain sect of individuals is because he believes with all of his heart that you should live your own conviction. Believe what you believe and live what you believe. Never mind what the word says. See, God does hate the shedding of innocent blood. But if your conviction is to kill an unborn defenseless baby, well, live your conviction. But let's go into the article because it got me angry. And apparently, I'm not the only one that got angry over it. It's caused quite a stir, if you will, among certain circles. And rightly so. But the article begins and says, megachurch pastor Carl Lentz is facing criticism this week for not defending unborn babies when he had the chance. I will add my voice to the criticism. Shame, 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 shame on Carl Lentz. Anyway, Lentz, the pastor of the influential Hillsong Church in New York City, aren't they all influential? But then again, it's Hillsong. Because that's all we've got left, man. No Holy Spirit, no power, no prophecy, no healing, no dreams, no discernment, apparently, because you let an atheist who murdered 26 people in a church teach children's Bible study. But hey, we've got Hillsong. It's Birdie. We got Hillsong. So yes, he is the pastor of the influential Hillsong Church in New York City. And he appeared on The View to talk about his ministry. If ever there was a time to quote the verse regarding throwing one's pearls to swine, going on The View would be that time. Now, I know that middle-aged and older ladies will be angry with me, but come on, The View? Really? The View? Why would you want to feed pigs pearls? Anyway, he went on The View last week to talk about his ministry because that's what influential pastors do, don't you know? They go and talk to the godless about their ministries, but it ends up that they don't talk about their ministries. They don't defend the gospel of Christ. They don't defend the name of Jesus. They don't even defend unborn babies. Because they're there for the fame. They're not there for the cross. They're there for the adulation. They're there for the applause. They're there for Whoopi Goldberg to say, "Wow, you're so progressive. I'd go to your church." Anyway. And the panel, of course, a group of pro-abortion women who love to bash pro-life advocates, asked Lentz about his views on abortion. You go into the hyena's den unprepared. If you go into the hyena's den expecting the hyenas to treat you in a civil manner, then you deserve everything you get. Look, topics such as abortion, topics such as homosexuality, when framed by anyone at any time, anywhere, and inquired of a true believer as to whether or not they are sin or sinful, it should be reactionary. It should be ingrained in you. You know it's a sin. You know it's wrong. You know God hates the shedding of innocent blood. I'm not going to try to explain away your sin or you know, coddle you in your murder. Well, you see, no, sin is sin. Repent and be forgiven. That's the only remedy for it. So yes, Pastor Lentz, and I use the term pastor loosely, loosely at best, appeared on The View to talk about his ministry. Because don't you know, he's influential. And the panel, stacked with Jezebels and women who celebrate the murder of innocents, asked Lenz about his views on abortion. Look, let's not beat around the bush here. Because they keep calling it a clump of cells, even though you can hear a heartbeat 4 weeks in. It's just a clump of cells. It's my body. You've got a person living in your body now. It's part of you. It shares your DNA. How cruel a beast do you have to be to willingly and maliciously murder another human being living inside of you that is part of you? Even animals have more maternal instincts. Dr. Lenz, being the influential shepherd of the Hillsong Church of the lost and broken, what's your view on abortion? Rather than speak boldly about loving both the mother and her unborn child, Lenz sidestepped the question. Of course, Joy Behar, and if you don't know who Joy Behar is, she is likely going to be the devil's table wench upon her entrance into Hades. Of course she has to go there. So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion? Tell us. It's not a sin to murder a baby in the womb in your church? Of course. Like influential pastor Joel Osteen before him, when asked a clear question as to whether or not it was sin, Lenz responded, that's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from, what you believe. I mean, you know, God's the judge. People have to live to their own convictions, of course. There's the key. Live to your own conviction. I am convinced that I am the right weight for my height. It is my conviction. So influential Pastor Lenz's answer was this. People have to live their own convictions. That's such a broad question to me. I'm going higher. Really? Higher than what? Higher than hell? There's nowhere to go but up. You're going higher. You can't defend an unborn child, you're going higher. Get another tattoo, why don't you? You schmuck, influential pastor. I am so sick of this. I want to sit with somebody and say, what do you believe? Really? Well, Scientologists believe that we are the fecal matter of aliens. Live your conviction. The nut bar in Texas believed that it was perfectly fine for him to walk into a church and execute 26 people. Live what you believe. Live your conviction. influential pastor. How are you a pastor? How? Explain to me, how are you a pastor when you can't come out and say abortion is sin? It is murder. You are murdering a human being growing inside of you. He had the platform. He could have said it. But then Joy Behar wouldn't have been too happy, would she? So it's not an open and shut case to you? Behar said. Because this is where she knew she had him. This is where she knew she just caused an influential pastor to compromise himself and give license to tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, of easily swayed women to knock on the door of a Planned Parenthood clinic and say, "Hey, vacuum this thing out of me. Pastor Lentz says it's my conviction." So take those scissors and sever its spine and drill a hole in its cranium, and take those pincers and break its tiny arms and break its tiny legs and vacuum it out of me. So thankful Pastor Lentz said, "You know, I have to do what I believe." And you know, if they've got enough contracts, it's the Planned Parenthood clinic would probably be a little more careful, you know, since they're selling body parts. You know, you can't let a fully developed baby skull go to waste, or a head, or some, you know, a heart. There's money in them, their parts. But hey, you know, Pastor Lentz said that we should live our convictions. I mean, God's the judge, you know, people have to live their own convictions. I'm going higher. I'm just going to go higher. Millions upon millions of innocent lives ended before they even began. Ended before they even breathed their first breath. Pastor Lentz is going higher. He can't be bothered with something so trivial. He can't be bothered with something so mundane. Pish tosh, sir. Pish tosh, abortion. I'm going higher. We've got the Naked Cowboy singing in our church next Sunday. And then we're going to march in the gay pride parade to show our solidarity and all-inclusiveness and tolerance. We're going higher. Babies. That's not for me. I'm not the judge. Live your conviction, madam. I'm sure they have layaway plans if you can't afford the abortion offhand. Payment schedule, what have you. You know. Because it's your conviction. So yes, the handmaiden of Satan asked, "So it's not an open and shut case to you?" And of course, influential Pastor Lentz said this: "Some people would say it is." Those people. Those intolerant jerks. Those people who cling to their Bibles. "Some people would say it is." What he's insinuating is, some people, but not me. I'm going higher.
Let them squabble over dead babies. I'm going higher. To me, I'm trying to reach people who Jesus is first and find out their story. Before I start picking and choosing what I think is sin in your life, I'd like to know your name. It's not about picking and choosing what's sin. The Bible defines as sin. God hates the shedding of innocent blood, you buffoon. You abject horror of a human being posing as a pastor. Live your conviction. At another point, co-host Sarah Haynes asked where Lent stands on issues like abortion and homosexuality. Of course, because they're intertwined. If I had a crystal ball and could look 5 years into the future, I guarantee you another influential pastor will be sitting on a similar couch, surrounded by similar Jezebels, asked, where do you stand on issues such as incest and pedophilia? Because the marker is always getting pushed further and further out. We're normalizing more and more abomination. And each time someone stands against it and says, this is lunacy, you're branded intolerant and bigoted. So now it's, where do you stand on issues like abortion and homosexuality? In 5 years, if the Lord tarries, I guarantee you it'll be, where do you stand on issues like incest and pedophilia? And there will be another schmuck posing as a pastor who'll say, I'm not the judge. God's the judge. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. So his answer to, you know, stands on issues like abortion. Stand. What is your stand? What do you believe regarding these things? It was a direct question to which he ought to have given a direct answer. This is my stand. Homosexuality is sin. Abortion is sin. And God finds them abominable. Repent ye therefore. Thank you for the interview. Joy, the makeup is not covering your evil. Good day. That's it. Walk away. But no. Hillsong is seen as this hip progressive church that's drawn huge millennial crowds. But it's still evangelical. Where? If you cannot take a stand on something as basic the murder of innocent children, may I submit to you, not very evangelical, sir. So, this is Haynes' question. So, where do you stand on social issues that young people are particularly passionate about? Like gay marriage and abortion, and that's another lie. Young people are passionate about gay marriage and abortion. You know where the biggest uptick in pro-life beliefs has come from? Young people. Because technology has advanced to such an extent that you're able to see the face of the human being growing inside of you. You're able to hear its beating heart. And it's hard to twist yourself into a pretzel and pretend as though it's a clump of cells when you heard its beating heart. But this is where they try to frame the narrative. Well, you know, young people, They're particularly passionate about gay marriage and abortion. Really? And they're in charge, passionate about gay marriage and abortion. You can't have your heart in hell and the rest of you in heaven. That should have been the answer. Your passions must be crucified. If you're passionate about homosexual marriage and abortion, then you need to repent first before you can call yourself a member of a church, even if it is the influential Hillsong of New York City. And of course, this Madam Haynes, you know, presses the issue. Like, how do you address those types of things? Apparently not very clearly. Because, the obfuscation is killing me. Lentz replied, I think our job is still to help people. Not necessarily change how they think. Really? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service. Receive the new mind, the metanoia, new thought, a change of thought. It's not necessarily our job, you know, to change how they think. That's exactly what your job is, buffoon. Your job is to change how they think. Your job is to point them to Jesus. Your job is to preach the cross of Christ. We believe that God is good, that God loves everybody, that Jesus was here to set people free. Hey, influential Pastor Len said, I'm free to murder my baby, because I'm living my conviction. See, this is the thing that this man awake for the rest of his life. If his words shifted the perception of one woman, wherein she felt as though she was given license to go and murder the child growing in her womb, the blood of that child will be on this man's hands, because when he could have spoken truth, he chose to hide behind double talk. Our job is just to help people. These two, Joel and Mr. Lentz, should get together and open a mega church. The biggest one of all. See, it used to be that the devil had to travel to find souls. Now they're all stuck in a mega church. Doesn't even have to go far. It just sits there and laughs and mocks. Live your conviction. Follow your heart. What's your heart telling you to do? My heart's telling me to murder my baby. And I know, what about medical emergencies and health of the mother and real 22 million. 22 million. 22 million. You have the temerity to tell me that 22 million were medical emergencies. 99.9% were murders of convenience. Too complicated raising a child. I haven't finished college yet. I have a career. I don't want my parents to know I'm a whore. You murder a baby because it's inconvenient for you to carry it to full term. But hey, Pastor Lent says, live your conviction. So if that's your conviction, you know, we're not here to necessarily change your mind. God loves everybody. His answer, the article continues, disappointed a lot of fellow Christians. The word disappointed is the least scandalous word that they could have chosen, because it didn't disappoint me. It angered me. It infuriated me. I'm not disappointed in his answer. I'm disgusted by it. Dare you have a national platform, and rather than defend the truth, you cozy up to the handmaiden of Satan and agree with her that murdering children, you know, as long as it's your conviction, it's okay. It's okay. I need to know the whole story. You know, what's your story, baby? Tell me your story, and then I'll tell you if it's sin or not. Sin is sin, period. There's no such thing as sin with good intentions. There's no such thing as the shedding of innocent blood with good intentions. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. There were no qualifiers after that. It didn't say God hates the shedding of innocent blood, except in the case of influential pastors giving you license to murder your babies. So yes, his answer disappointed a lot of fellow Christians. Many want their clergy to speak boldly about the value of unborn babies, the atrocity of abortion, and the love that should be shown to both mother and child. James Silberman, don't know who that is, criticized Lenz's response, writing for The Federalist, and he said this: this position might be received as a moderate stance on the issue or a lack of stance altogether. But in this case, to be on the fence is to be on the child of on the side of child sacrifice. I like Mr. Silberman already. James Silberman, God bless you. Live to your own convictions is practically the slogan of the abortion lobby. I'm liking Mr. Silberman even more. Lentz might as well have said, my body, my choice. Or keep your rosaries off my ovaries. Lentz has received a lot of publicity and criticism for his remarks, but he is not atypical. Studies indicate that many pastors are hesitant to speak about abortion. A 2016 Pew Research Center poll found that just 29% of respondents heard their clergy members speak about abortion during a religious service. Most who did said that their clergy spoke out against abortion 22%, while a few, 3%, said their clergy spoke in support of abortion. So, yeah. 22%. 22%. This is the percentage of so-called shepherds and pastors who actually speak out against abortion. 3% are just abjectly the devil's minions, speaking, you know, in support of it. And the other 75% are too cowardly to open their mouths and say, it is murder. So, yes, influential pastor of none other than Hillsong. May God judge you rightly. I'm not going to say may he have mercy on you, because you don't deserve it. If you cannot have mercy and stand in defense of unborn babies and the innocent, then no, I will not show the grace and say, may God have mercy on your soul. No, may God judge you righteously. That's it. That's all I have to say. This left a sour taste in my mouth. And again, he won't be the last. Because every time they feel that spotlight, convictions go out the window. Remember the other guy? Love wins. Love wins. Does it? Ah, platitudes are lovely until the rubber hits the road, aren't they? So what else has been happening? Judge Roy Moore. We talked about Judge Roy Moore, and it was inevitable. Now that they see he has a shot of winning in Alabama, allegations from, I guess, 38 years ago. And you're probably going to hear more about this, because they're gonna beat this drum. They don't want this man anywhere near a Senate seat. So they're going to beat this drum and beat this drum. But apparently there are some allegations from 38 years ago. Why the individual didn't come out, 37 years ago, 37 and a half years ago, 20 years ago. Judge Moore has been in the public eye for a very long time. But now, when they see that he's ahead in the polls and he's about to win the seat, allegations. And you know what? We've seen this play too often. They overplayed their hand. We've seen it too often. Every single time the swamp field threatens or that it's going to lose, this is the play they trot out. Remember Herman Cain? Look, I used to play chess in my youth. And I used to play regularly. I wasn't the best. I wasn't even very good, but I had friends I played with. And I had a friend who would always have the same opening move. Every single time we played, his opening move would be the same. And because I knew what his opening move was, I shifted my strategy to where I beat him every time without even thinking about it. This is their move. This is the only gambit that they have. To throw mud. And what I find exceedingly telling is that good old Turkey Neck and good old Maverick have already come out and said, Judge Moore should bow out, for the sake of civility and whatnot. Remember all those allegations? Women who felt soiled before the elections disappeared. None of them are pressing charges yet. None of them are pursuing anything. Because this is their go-to. They find some hapless woman to sign an affidavit, and in doing so, attempt to ruin the reputation of a decent human being. So yeah, that's happening. And wouldn't you know it, the Maverick and Turkey Neck are already insisting that, the U.S. Senate is no place for the likes of Judge Roy Moore. No, sir.
We are living exceedingly perilous times, kids. And just from every facet, from every imaginable angle, the danger continues to rise and grow. And when we see danger approaching, our sworn duty is to blow the trumpet, first of all, and then prepare ourselves for what is coming. As always, I thank you for listening to the program. I guess if somebody has something nasty to say again, I'm sure someone will forward me your comment. But God bless you anyway. We will be here again next week. I'm thinking of bringing Jeff back on and do another Two Angry Dads because, hey, lots to be angry about. But until then, may God bless you. May he keep you. May you grow in wisdom and understanding. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Gino. God bless you and have a good night.
Thank you, Mike. I think it's a program that should get out to more people, touching on a subject that's really important because the Bible's so clear about preaching another gospel and being in heresy. And if we're not pro-life, what are we? You know, we're not pro-traditional family. And it's just sad to see some of these so-called celebrity pastors that don't know their Bible and don't stand up for what's right and truth. And it just goes to show you, woe unto you when men speak all manner of good about you, or so did they of the false prophets. And so I completely concur that Mike's show has an important relevance in this hour for brothers that want to stand for the truth and speak what's right. So if you have questions for Mike, send them in to lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. You can go to our website, handofhelp.com. Please also consider looking at Mike's new book, The Battle Ready Believer. It's a great disposition on standing up for the faith in this hour. God bless you. Have a great night.
Have a nice show.
Yep.
I have pretty much closing. But it's a, he's